All right, as we look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, in order to understand verse 7, it piggybacks off in verse 6. In verse number 6, Paul had said, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And then he puts out a little warning. In other words, what he's telling them is, listen, for those who are hesitant to share in all the good things with those who teach them, Paul reminded them of God's principle of sowing and reaping. When we look in verse 7 through verse number 10, and they're giving to share in all good things with him who teaches isn't like throwing away money, but it's like planting seeds. And whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So he starts out in verse 7 by saying, be not deceived. When you look at that, deceive is being misled. So he's telling the Galatians, you know, don't be negligent in your duty. You are to respect and give liberality toward the teachers of the word. And don't think that you can just do as you please, whether it pleases God or not. He said, listen, don't deceive. God's not mocked. At derised by disobedience, scoffed at by ignoring his will. And then he ends up dealing with, in verse 7 and 8, he talks about two principles concerning spiritual sowing that's going to be found in these verses. And so he says in verse 7, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So in verse 7, the first principle that we see is that we reap what we sow. This is a warning, but also it's a promise. This is God's principle and rule, and no one can pull one over on God. If we plant wheat, then we should expect wheat and not corn. If we plant pumpkin seeds, we should expect pumpkins, not oranges, even though they are the same color. And so he said, listen, whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he looks at verse 8 and he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to picture, or you can write down, or you can just outline it. Picture a farm with two large fields. If you want to put two large fields, you can put one on one side, one on the other. But picture a farm with two large fields. One of them is labeled flesh, and the other is labeled spirit. One is flesh. One is labeled spirit. Every day we have hundreds of chances to sow in one field or the other. Everything we do is either sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. Every word we speak, every step we take, every decision we make leads in one direction or the other. And this includes what we read, how we dress, who we talk to, what we watch on TV, what music we listen to, what video games we play, and where we surf on the internet. Every day, life is a series of choices, and every choice is sowing a seed into the flesh field or the spirit field. And what should we expect if most of our sowing is in the flesh field? Paul says we will reap corruption. That shouldn't surprise us. And what should we expect if most of our sowing is in the spirit field? Paul said we'll reap eternal life. Should that surprise us? No. We reap what we sow. And once the sowing is finished, the harvest cannot be changed. But then the second principle is that we learn that reaping a godly harvest requires patience and persistence. Reaping a godly harvest requires patience and persistence. See, farming, if you know anything about farming is hard work. It's a full-time job. It's a year-round task. There is no end to the jobs that have to be done. I know that because my father was a farmer. So we know that it's a hard work. It's something every day that has to be done. So if you want the harvest, then you got to work. Even when you feel like giving up, the seed that is planted does not bear fruit immediately. If you keep digging up the seed to see how it's doing, listen, it's not going to grow. And so effective farming requires patience and persistence. That's why he says in verse number 9, he says now, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we do not give up. So we need to remember that when you're living this life, you need to remember that life is hard, but God can help us deal with it. We need to remember that people are difficult, but God can help us love them anyway. We need to remember that things don't always go as we plan, but God can help us move forward anyway. And so he says, so that's why he says, listen, let us not be weary, don't in well-doing, because in due season there's going to come a time we're going to reap if we faint not. And then in verse 10 he says, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We must seize the opportunities before they disappear, because it's so easy to miss the opportunities to serve that God places before us. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit. That's why we have to keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit will help us see and seize the opportunities that comes our way. And then when you look at verse 11, he began to talk about something. In verse 11, he says, ye see how Lord, a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Now, Notice what he says. See what large letter I've written to you with my own hand. See, ordinarily, Paul dictated his letters to a scribe and then added his signature at the end. But in the Galatian letter, he did more. He seized the pen from his scribes, and from verse 11 to the end of this chapter, verse 18, all the verses were written in his own writing. Now, somebody might say, well, why did Paul use such letters? Well, there may be three possibilities. I said possibilities. It could have been, first, Paul may have had bad eyesight that made it difficult for him to write. When you look at that might have been one of Paul's thorns in the flesh. Well, why? Because the indication, if you go back to chapter 4 and verse 15, chapter 4 and verse 15, you see he says, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear your record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. So that might have been a possibility. Well, a second possibility might have been was that Paul was, he was a tent maker. He never learned to write well. But we know this was unlikely because he was also highly educated. But then there was a third possibility. It was that he wrote with large letters for emphasis. Paul's large letters may have been the ancient style for our bold facing, or in other words, he might have been way of saying important. Read this. But whatever, and here it is, whatever the purpose was, it gave this letter Paul's special and unique touch because he wrote it in his own, with his own hand. Now, what did he do? What did he write? Let's look on. In verse, after he said that in verse number, as we go back to Galatians, in verse number 12, he says, now listen, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, as you look at verse 12 and 13, in verse 13 he says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Now, when you look at verse 12 and verse 13, what Paul is doing, he's giving a blistering attack on the Judaizers who were seducing the Galatians. Paul, if you look at this, he made four accusations against them. Number one, the first accusation, they were braggarts. In other words, they wanted to make a good showing. They were bragging on themselves. So they want to make a good showing because he says, look at that in verse 12. He said in verse number 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. They want to put on an appearance and look favorable to the leaders of unbelieving Jews, because he said at the end of verse 13, they may glory in your flesh. And so that's the first accusation, that they wanted to make a good showing. Well, the second accusation, they were bullies, because he says now, they constrain you to be circumcised. For for selfish reasons they was doing this. They would force circumcisions on to the Gentiles of the Galatian churches. So they were bullies. But then the third accusation, they were cowards. Because he says in verse 12, after doing that, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now notice this. They were cowards in order that they may not be persecuted. Well, what do you mean? Their desire was personal advantage with ranking Jewish unbelievers. But their fear also was persecution by the Jews. And to escape it, they would follow a course of non-resistance to the Jewish law and to the custom. Such meant the surrender of the gospel that Paul had preached. But then we find, he says, they done it for the cross. Their motive was this. Their motive was to avoid the consequences of teaching that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And then the fourth accusation, they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites because he says in verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. The circumcision itself, of it, do not keep the law of Moses. That is, keep it in the full obedience that was required by it. We talked about that. If you're going to keep it, you got to do it all. You got to, and so the law required perfect obedience for justification. Even they did not keep it, they fell short of it. Well, why were they doing it? Here's their purpose. They were doing all of this because he said that they may glory in your flesh. Their purpose was to boast to unbelieving Jews of victory in making proselytes of the Gentiles in the church by rite of circumcision. And so when we look at this, it's no wonder why Paul was so concerned then for the Galatians that he wrote this letter. Paul had nothing good to say about those false teachers whose true purpose was spiritual sedition or seduction for selfish purposes. He had nothing good to say. But watch what he does in verse 14 and 15. In verse 14 and 15, he says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Paul ultimately says that the heart of your religion is what you boast in. So let me ask you tonight, let me ask you this question. What is your greatest boast? What is your greatest boast? Is it your money? Your education, your family, your personality, your ability to get things done, your good grades, your personal achievement, your marriage, your children, The list can go on. But listen, and there's nothing wrong with that, but listen to Paul. Paul said, listen, I learned to boast about only one thing. And that one thing is the cross of Christ. For Paul, only that one thing mattered, and that was the cross. Listen, when we really understand the gospel, then we learn to boast exclusively in the cross. When we embrace the gospel, then we learn to tie our identity, significance, and self-image to the cross of Christ. When we learn that we are saved solely and wholly because of Christ's work and not our work, then we can take no credit for our standing with God. We are saved by grace because of the cross. And if I truly boast in Christ alone, then there is a stunning turnaround in my life. Paul said, listen, it's all about the cross. It's all about Christ. And so Paul said that the world then, it becomes then dead to us. It becomes dead. Because he said, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world is no longer our boast, nor our draw, nor the things that control us. No, it's not the world. But it's the cross. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we need to be boasting in, is the cross of Christ. And then when you look at verse 15, what Paul does is that Paul restates what he said back in Galatians 5 and verse 6. He says in Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And he says right here in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So Paul saying, listen, this stuff don't mean anything. What counts is the new creation, the new creature. That's why he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so all that matters, Paul says, is this. Through Christ crucified, we are made a new creation. And then we notice Paul's blessings in verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Here he calls living by the gospel a rule. It is a way of life. It's a foundation for everything. Anyone who sets the gospel of Christ as their rule, he says, will find peace and mercy. as anyone who sets the gospel of Christ as their rule will find peace and mercy. That's what we want, peace and mercy. And so he said they will be members of the Israel of God. And so as we have learned in this letter, Christians are Abraham's real children and therefore are heirs to God's promises to him. We Christians are now the Israel of God. And then in verse 17, he says, from henceforth, now since we know who we are, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul pointed to his suffering, to his suffering. What are the marks of Jesus? And so Paul is probably referring to the literal scars he had from all his difficult travels, his imprisonment, his being beaten that he had received for the sake of Christ. So in essence, Paul is saying, you Judaizers like to make marks on the body and call yourself holy. Well, here are the real marks of faithfulness to God. Paul was the true minister and apostle, and he had the marks of Jesus to prove it. Then, finally, we notice Paul closes it out in verse 18. He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. To the very last verse, Paul continued to hammer home his main theme, and that was the grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus. And we must begin with grace, and we must continue by grace. We must begin with grace and continue by grace. So Paul signs off with a personal word, brothers, brethren. And so Paul reminds them, listen, you are a precious family to him. And so as we come to the end of Galatians, we've seen some things. And so hopefully that as you go back and you read the book of Galatians, that it will continue to bless your life. Next week, Lord willing, we will start in the book of Ephesians. So begin to read the book of Ephesians in our next lesson, Lord willing, on next week. So I will be opening up for any prayer requests. Does anyone have any prayer requests at this time? Any prayer requests? I already got some, but any more?
Hey, Brother Skippy, this is Sharon.
Okay.
Could you offer a prayer for the Congress? I heard on the news right before I called in that they're not going to be meeting tomorrow because of a threat to the Capitol.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All right. If not, I will go over this list and then we will offer up prayer. I want to continue to remember Ken Gatewood, Tiffany Henson, Evelyn Johnson, Dorothy Bates, Brother and Sister Edwards, Brother and Sister Nix, Ramona Williams, Ron Beatty, Huber Freeman, Bob Abney, Cheryl Calcutt. And also continue to pray for Sister Baldwin's sister, Sherry Bryant, that lives in California. We also want to lift up prayers for Tess Herndon. She's a member where Brother Walker, he's on our call each week. He's on now, attends. Tess Herndon, she lost her husband today, and so just pray on behalf of that family. Her name is the Herndon family. And also, Sister Joan asked for prayer for her cousin, Carl Pate. He's in the South Shore Hospital in Trenton. He had a severe reaction to a shingles vaccine, and also after receiving the COVID vaccine and the flu vaccine. And so all of those together, just want to pray for him that everything can turn out well with him. And then Sharon may mention to pray for the Congress because there's a threat that's taking place there. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for this time that you have given us to come together on this prayer call. Lord, thank you for the lesson in the book of Galatians. And Lord, as we go back and we just continue to look at that book, and Lord, just help us to learn some things, and we see some things that Paul had to deal with, and Lord, let us learn some things that can apply to our lives. Lord, we just ask you at this time to be with Ken Gatewood, Tiffany Henson, Evelyn Johnson, Dorothy Bates, Brother Ramona Williams, Ron Freeman, Abney, Cheryl Calcutt, Sherry Bryant. Lord, be with those, them, Lord, and the things that they stand in need of. And Lord, we just ask you to grant you their request or whatever it may be, if it's your will. And we ask you at this time, Lord, to be with the Herndon family that lives in Kaysen, Texas. Be with Tess Herndon as she lost her husband. Lord, give that family the comfort and the strength that they need in these trying times. And Lord, we just ask you to be with this nation. Lord, just be with those in the White House, the Congress, and things that's going on up there, the death threats, and Lord, that is interrupting the day-to-day business and that they need to be doing. Lord, just watch over them and protect them, Lord, and we just pray that they can be able to, law enforcement and others can be able to find the party that's making those threats, Lord. But Lord, we know that you are in control of everything, and even what's going on in our world today. And Lord, we just pray that help us to just look to thee, help us to stay focused upon you. And again, Lord, just be with them and be with their families, Lord, as well. And we just ask you, Lord, that you just continue to just guide us, continue to just watch over us. And Lord, if it's your will that we can be able to lay our heads down tonight, and if it's your will that we can rise to see another day. Again, Lord, we just ask you to forgive us of any sins we have done through thought, word, or deed. And Lord, just help us to just do what we need to do as people of God, that we be that example that you would have us to be. Thank you again, Lord, for all you've done and continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.